Baptismal Discourse.
A certain man made a great supper and made many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." I think many men in this world, of course we realize here, that he was speaking particularly of the Jewish nation. "You only have I known of all the families of the earth, and when was given through Jesus Christ, they refused to accept it." I think anyone of you that have consecrated their lives unto God will tell you that the accepting of this invitation has proven the greatest blessing that you've ever known in your life. That God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And when God gave you this invitation, and you selected and accepted that invitation to come to that feast, God continually, day by day, has fed you with those things that have sustained you and have made you very, very happy and contented in this world. You knew that when you came to the Lord, that this wasn't an obligation in which you could not say you would or you would not. In fact, as we go on with our reading, if any man come to me and love not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then he says something here. Because the Lord did not want any that was not fully willing to consecrate their life unto him. This had to be a willing consecration. And he uses this illustration. He says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sit not down first, and counteth the cost, whether ye have to finish it?" In other words, he was saying, sit down first, count the cost, and see whether you want to go into this with your whole heart and soul, so that you will be able to finish it. And he says, "Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet in a great way off, he sendeth an passage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be a disciple. Jesus wasn't saying this in an unkind way. He was saying it in a very kind way, because he wanted them to know that once they had started, they had to finish. And that's the reason why he wanted them to sit down and to count the cost. As I said, there isn't one of you that have consecrated your life unto God that would turn back. As we look out in the world today and see the troubles and the perplexity and the fear that's coming upon the faces of all people as they look forward to those things that are coming upon the earth, we alone can sit here in comfort and peace and hope, realizing that the God of peace has given us a peace that dwells in our hearts, that passeth all, through a knowledge of his plans and purposes. And when we see these things coming upon the world, we know why they're coming upon the world. And we know what the outcome is going to be, that God, in his goodness and in his love, is going to bless all the families of the earth. He's going to bring forth all that have gone down into the grave with an opportunity for everlasting life. And as we see these things, we look beyond these things to that hope that is within us, the day in which God will bless all the families of the earth. And this sustains us and will continue to sustain us in every hour of need. And Jesus said, "My peace I leave unto you, not as the world giveth, but as he giveth." I think we are a happy people. I think no people on the face of the earth can come together, spend 3 days in convention, and have such joy. I was noticing at breakfast, I noticed last night, I noticed every place that the friends would meet, the love of God was on their face. That which had been shed abroad in their hearts. And they were speaking one to another. And I think each one of us know this, that no matter where we go in this world, now this was the first time that I had ever been to the convention in Boise. I'm going to go away here with a warm feeling in my heart for each and every one that I meet. And no matter where we go in this world, when we meet one of those that has sat down and counted the cost and given his life in consecration unto God, we find that same fellowship, that same joy, that same peace, that same love. This is only as God can give it. Once one has consecrated and turned his life unto God, he never will be alone again. And whether he's by himself physically, God said through his Son, "I will never leave nor forsake thee." We realize that water emerges a sinner, but it's a beautiful sinner. When Jesus came to Jordan, John, looking at him, knew that he was the Son of God, the Lamb of God, which would take away the sin of the world. He says, "Well, I'm not even worthy to unloose your shoes." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Suffer it to be so now." Because he wanted to go through this beautiful symbol of being baptized into death. And so John baptized him. And since then, each one of his followers have been baptized also in the same manner. And as one is baptized and laid down into the water, it is a picture of him consecrating his life to God. Though I come to do thy will, as it is written of me in the volume of the book. And as he goes down, he's raised up to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. Many things will happen and have happened to each one of us. But Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and the 13th verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And when you analyze and think of those words, these are the words of God. Now these trials or these troubles that would come upon us are no different than that which comes upon all the world. But it is the way that these trials affect that makes the difference. And God pictures himself as being there to give us a way of escape. He's not going to give us any more than we can bear. Remember, someone said they wish God didn't have such faith in them. But nevertheless, God has provided, and we can look back in our lives. And this young man is going to be able to look back in his life and realize that God has led him every step of the way. And every time we have thought that the odds were insurmountable, God has been there to bless us, to keep us, to hold us by the hand. And so he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Bear it. I want you to remember that the rest of your life. God himself will help you. God has asked one particular thing. In fact, we didn't have but one thing to give, did we? This imperfect flesh wouldn't do him any good at all. The only thing he said to us, he said it through the psalmist, my son, give me thine heart. This is the thing that God wanted us to give. Our affection, our love, our willingness to do his will. And these are the things that he has asked of each one. Sometimes one might think that he had something to offer to God. But Paul tells us our own righteousness is as a filthy rag. Remember when the scribes and Pharisees came to John, and some of those that thought they were a little better than the rest of the people? Remember what John said to them, who has warned you to flee the wrath to come, O generation of vipers? Then he told them something, and I'm going to read it. In Matthew, the 3rd chapter, and the 8th and the 9th verses, and when you think of this, think of the power of God. and the power that God has placed in your life, and the power that He has around you at all times. And so we read in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, the 8th and the 9th verses, these words. I'm going to read the 7th verse. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to the baptism, he said unto them, O generations of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Some might say, well, that was just a figure of speech. Well, I wonder if it was. Man was created from the dust of the earth, wasn't it? If you took a stone and ground it up, what would you have? You'd have the dust of the earth. Yet the power of God would be able to do this, would be able to accomplish this in any way He chose. Someone said during this convention, think not more highly of yourselves than you are. And certainly when we think that God could raise up stones to be the seed of Abraham, we don't have too much to say. This is an invitation that's given to us by God. It will never be given. This invitation means not only if we're to concentrate our lives into God. Paul said, know ye not that as so many of you have been baptized into Christ, have been baptized into His death, but also to have the joy of being a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And when you think of that, we know that Jesus was holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners. And for God to give us the invitation to join His Son in blessing all the families of the world, it is almost incomprehensible. And this is why John says, what manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? He saw righteous. That glorious being should be called the Son of God. But what manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed upon you that you should be called the sons of God? And then he went on with that beautiful thought. We know not what we shall be, but when He appears, we shall be like Him. Be like that glorious being that died upon a cross for the whole world of mankind. This is the invitation that has been given to you and to all of us. If we make our calling election sure, God has given us that promise that we will be forever with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Throughout our Christian lives, all a little disappointed at why we were not able to change this body of ours. For instance, we've tried to put on patience. We've tried to do a lot of other things that would be pleasing to God, and it's seemingly the more we try, the worse we become. You ever found yourself in that position? Well, you're not going to be able to change this body even though you go down into the grave. Had we been able to change this body, there would have been no need for Christ to die. The only thing that we can do is subdue it. control. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and the 27th verse, he wrote these words. I'm going to read from the 26th also. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Paul realized he couldn't change that body, but he was going to keep that unrighteous body down. He was going to control it by the Holy Spirit that God had given him, the new mind that would be effective if he used it. James also realized something that all of us have. He realized that we had a tongue. And when we let that tongue go, it was a den of iniquity. It could set on fire the wood. He talked about putting a bridle on a horse. He says we ought also to put bits in our mouth so that we can control our body. But this is the best that we will ever be able to do. So don't ever be discouraged, because every once in a while that this body of ours will flare up. Paul says the spirit, the flesh, it is against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, so that we cannot always do the things that we would. But we should never cease and try. Someone might say, well, how do I know that I am truly being led by the Lord? How do I know that God has called and accepted my consecration? I think one of the things is this, one of the proofs that we have, your desire. This desire did not come of yourself. God worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. I like the Weymouth on this. It says, for God you to give you the will to do of his good pleasure. I think this is true. No man cometh unto my son, save the Father that sent me drawing. Jesus said that, didn't he? And I said it rather badly. Jesus said, no man cometh unto me, save the Father which sent me drawing. You're not sitting here today because you're the one that wanted to serve God. God wanted you to serve him, so he drew you to him. This Bible that he has written through the prophets, through the apostles, was written to you as an individual, because it is only as an individual you can make your calling election sure. And I think each time that you read the words of this book, you should take them as being individually written to you, because I think this is what God intended these words to be. And if you're mindful of these words will show you that God has called. And these words will show you that God is dealing with you. These words will show you if you're faithful. that God will exalt you to rule with his Son. You might say, well, I wish I had a letter. I'm going to ask you to do this for just a little bit. I'm going to ask you to look at this as if you were receiving a letter. I don't want you to think as that I am reading these words to you. I want you to think that these words were sent by God to you. And when you hear these words, don't think of me, because I am the only reading these words. But these are God's words. And if a messenger came to you and gave you this letter, this paraphrase to some extent, I want you to think of it as being a letter from God. I am writing to you that you might know me, the only true God, and my Son Jesus, whom I have sent. I have called you that you might be a possession unto me from my own possession, zealots of good works. You did not choose me, but I chose you. No man can come unto my Son, save I who sent him, draw him, even as I did Aaron. No man can take this honor unto himself. You whom I have called, I have also justified. And if you are faithful, you will also be glorified. There is therefore no condemnation to you who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I beseech ye therefore by my mercies, ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, renewing of your mind. Pure religion and undefiled before me is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Take no anxious thought for what you shall eat and what you shall wear, as the world does. But seek ye rather first the kingdom of heaven and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Consider the lilies of the field and how they toil not, neither do they spin. Solomon in all his glory was not clothed as one of these. A sparrow shall not fall to the ground without my knowledge. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Therefore, bring all thy tithes to the storehouse and prove them, and see if I will not open unto you heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough for you to receive. I give you my word, which is able to build you up and give you an everlasting inheritance among those that I have set apart for my holy service. Study to show thyself approved unto me, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The words that I have given you are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that you, a son of mine, may become mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If you lack wisdom, ask of me, that give liberally to all men, and upbraid it not. It shall be given you, but ask in faith. Come unto me with confidence, for you know that you have an anchor within the veil, Jesus Christ the righteous. No good thing will I withhold from you, for I am the giver of every good and perfect gift. Forsake not the assembling of yourself with others. And so much more so as you see the day approaching. Where two or three are gathered together, there my Son will be there also to bless. I have given you liberty. Only use not this liberty for an occasion to serve the flesh, but rather serve one another. Love one another with a pure heart. Be kindly affectioned one towards another. You will know that you have passed from death unto life if you love your brother. If you say you love me and love not your brother, and you're not telling the truth. Because if you love me, you will also love those that I have begotten. If you do not forgive your brother from your heart his trespasses, then neither will I forgive you your trespasses. Judge not that you be not judged, for if you do judge, that same judgment shall be rendered unto you. Consider a small thing if a man judge you, for I will judge you in righteousness. For man looketh upon the outward appearance, but I look upon the heart. Avenge not yourself, for vengeance is mine, I will repay. Do good unto all men, especially the do good unto them who despitefully use you, and great will be your reward in heaven. Be subject to the powers that be, for they were ordained for your good. I exhort, first of all, supplication, thanks, and prayers, and intercessions be made for all men. And the giving of thanks be made for all men, for this is good and acceptable in my sight, for I would have all men, or will have all men, to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. A strange thing happened unto you. For whom I love, I chastise, and scourge every son whom I have received. If you endure chastising, I will deal with you as with a son. But remember this, it will not be for my own pleasure, but for your profit, that ye might be a partaker of my holiness. The trial of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. I have given unto you exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Add to your faith virtue, the virtue knowledge, the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. Wherefore, the rather, my son, give diligence to make your calling election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance will I administer unto you in the kingdom of my dear Son, Jesus Christ. If there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. If you ever doubt my love, think on this. I saw my son in the Garden of Gethsemane in agony. I saw the sweat as though it were blood come out upon him. I heard his cry unto me, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Heretofore he had never asked anything of me that I could not grant, but be for you, for your brethren, for the whole world, it was not possible. I saw him die the next day. I could not so much as lift a hand to help him. Let this be forever a manifestation to you that while you were yet a sinner, I permitted my son to die for you. Then you can know that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall ever be able to separate you from my love. Think not more highly of yourself than you ought to think. For when a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, that man deceiveth himself. Put yourself under my mighty hand, that I may exalt you in due time. I desire to see you face to face, to say, well done, to grant to you the privilege of sitting down with my son in his throne, even as he sat down in my throne. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life. These things have I written unto you, that your joy may be full.